All right, so imagine this. You're a lawyer, right? You're about to send your key witness into a grand jury testimony, super important stuff. And suddenly, bam, the prosecutor's investigators show up and they want to search your briefcase. I mean, come on, right? Sound a little crazy.
Yeah, a bit of a legal thriller, right? Like, is that even allowed?
Yeah. And what could you even do in that situation? That's exactly what we're diving into today. This wild Supreme Court case, Kahn v. Gabbert, from back in 1999.
Buckle up, folks. This one's a roller coaster.
It really is. And get this, all went down during the Menendez brothers' retrial. Remember that whole media circus?
Oh, yeah, hard to forget.
So we're not really focusing on the brothers themselves, but we are looking at this crazy legal battle between these prosecutors, Kahn and Nejra, and a defense attorney, this guy named Paul Gabbert. He was representing a witness, Tracy Baker, who used to be involved with Lyle Menendez.
Right, so prosecutors, they're thinking Lyle might be trying to pull some strings.
Totally. They thought Lyle might have sent Baker a letter, maybe even telling her to lie on the stand. Obviously, that's a huge no-no. So they wanted to get their hands on this letter.
Evidence of witness tampering or perjury, huge deal.
Absolutely. So first, they tried to force Baker to hand over any letters from Menendez when she testified to the grand jury. Then law enforcement went to search Baker's house with a warrant, but she was like, nope, already gave those letters to my lawyer, Gabbert.
Smart move. Her lawyer is exactly who she should be giving that stuff to.
For sure. But the prosecutors, they weren't giving up. They were convinced Gabbert had this incriminating letter. So what did they do? They went after him, got a warrant to search him.
Wow. Going after the lawyer directly, that's pretty aggressive.
It gets even wilder. Picture this. It's March 21st, 1994. Tracy Baker's testifying before the grand jury, and of course, Gabbert's there with her, like any good lawyer would be.
Right, advising his client.
Exactly. But, and this is where it gets insane, while Baker's inside giving her testimony, they execute the search warrant on Gabbert.
Hold on. They searched him while his client was testifying.
Yep. Can you imagine that? Your client's in the middle of this super important legal proceeding, and you, the lawyer, are being searched. It's like something out of a movie.
Yeah, talk about a distraction.
So here's where the big legal question comes in. It wasn't just about whether the search itself was legal under the Fourth Amendment, you know, the whole unreasonable searches thing.
Right.
Gabbert's argument went further. He was saying this search, happening right then and there while his client was testifying, prevented him from being there for her. He said it violated his 14th Amendment right to practice law.
Interesting. So he's claiming that this messed with his professional liberty?
That's exactly it. He was
Yeah.
basically saying this wasn't just bad timing, this was messing with his ability to represent his client properly.
Makes sense.
So it wasn't about the search being wrong in principle, it was the timing and the whole context that made it, according to Gabbert, a constitutional issue. He was saying it totally messed with his ability to do his job effectively.
I see. So he's drawing a line saying, look, this goes beyond just a regular search.
Totally. And you know what? The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals kind of agreed with him. They overturned the lower court's decision, you know, the one that sided with the prosecutors. They said there could be a violation of his 14th Amendment right to practice law without the government interfering.
Interesting. So at least one court saw his side of things, but I'm guessing that wasn't the end of it.
You guessed right. The prosecutors weren't happy, and they appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court.
The big leagues.
Big time. And here's where it gets really important, especially for you future lawyers out there. The Supreme Court actually reversed what the Ninth Circuit decided. They said, sure, the timing was weird, maybe even a little shady, but it didn't violate Gabbert's 14th Amendment right to practice law.
So the highest court said, not so fast.
Exactly. And their reasoning is super interesting. The opinion was written by Chief Justice Rehnquist, and he was all about this one key difference. He talked about a total ban on someone working in their chosen field, think like getting disbarred, where a lawyer can never practice law again. That's a big deal. But then he compared that to a temporary interruption, like what happened with Gabbert and the search.
So, like a spectrum of I interference, right?
Yeah. And the court was looking back at other 14th Amendment cases, like Board of Regents v. Roth and Meyer v. Nebraska. These were all about, you know, basic rights to work and earn a living, things like that.
Fundamental stuff.
Exactly. And the court basically said, look, those old cases were about people being completely shut out of their professions. Gabbert, he wasn't being banned from being a lawyer.
Yeah.
It was just this one specific, albeit badly timed thing.
Right. It's like annoying for sure, but not career ending.
Right. The court drew a clear line. They said their past rulings were about people being completely blocked from earning a living in their field. A quick search, even if it happens at a bad time for the client, well, that just doesn't rise to that level of being blocked from your profession.
So basically, the takeaway for aspiring lawyers is, yeah, you might face some delays, some annoying stuff, but unless it stops you from being a lawyer entirely, the 14th Amendment might not be your go-to argument.
Exactly. Not a slam dunk case, that's for sure. But wait, there's more. Remember Justice Stevens? He had something to say about all this too.
Oh yeah, he wrote a concurring opinion, always an interesting perspective.
He agreed with the final decision. You know, Gabbard's 14th Amendment rights weren't violated. But he made this really interesting point about the 4th and 14th Amendments. He was like, hold on, guys, don't get these two mixed up.
So he's saying, just because something might not violate the 14th doesn't mean it's automatically okay under the 4th.
Right. He was saying they're different beasts. And even though the 14th Amendment wasn't violated, Gabbard might have had a case under the 4th Amendment. You know, the unreasonable search thing.
Hmm. Interesting. Separate protections, separate arguments.
Totally. So even though the court said Gabbard's 14th Amendment right to practice wasn't violated, he could have maybe argued the search itself was wrong under the 4th Amendment.
Right, a different legal avenue to explore.
Makes you think, huh? But just to be clear, that specific 4th Amendment question wasn't what the Supreme Court was looking at in this case. They were only focused on the 14th Amendment and whether Gabbard's right to practice law was violated. Stevens was just reminding everyone that there are other ways to think about this.
Layers of legal protection, each with their own nuances.
Exactly. And remember, this wasn't just about Gabbard. There's another important piece to this puzzle. Qualified immunity for the prosecutors.
Ah, yes. That legal shield for government officials. What did the court say about that?
Well, they said even if there was a violation, which they decided there wasn't, those prosecutors, Kahn and Najera, would still be protected.
Because of qualified immunity, essentially they're saying that the prosecutors were just doing their jobs and they weren't violating any clearly established law at the time.
Right. So basically, even if the court had said, yeah, 14th Amendment violation, those prosecutors probably wouldn't have gotten in trouble. Because back in 94, when all this happened, there wasn't a clear rule saying you couldn't search a lawyer while their client was testifying.
It all boils down to established precedent. For a government official to be held liable, the law needs to be crystal clear on the matter. And back then, it wasn't.
So even if the Supreme Court had sided with Gabbard, those specific prosecutors probably wouldn't have faced any consequences. The law just wasn't clear enough.
It's a reminder that the law constantly evolves. What might be a clear violation today might not have been so clear-cut a few decades ago.
All right, so for all our listeners out there, especially those of you hitting the books in law school, what are the big takeaways from Kahn v. Gabbard?
Well, the Supreme Court made it crystal clear that there's a big difference between the government totally stopping you from doing your job, which could be a 14th Amendment issue, and just temporarily messing things up.
Right, like a quick search, even if it's annoying, doesn't necessarily mean your 14th Amendment right to practice law has been violated.
Exactly. And Justice Stevens's concurring opinion is a great reminder. Don't get those constitutional protections mixed up. Just because the 14th Amendment might not apply doesn't mean other protections, like the 4th Amendment, aren't relevant.
For sure. So here's something for everyone to ponder. After hearing all this, what safeguards do you think should be in place to protect lawyers from being messed with, especially when they're representing clients in crucial moments? I mean, the Supreme Court said this situation wasn't a 14th Amendment violation, but should there be clearer guidelines for law enforcement to prevent overreach?
Great question. And it makes you wonder, right? What if that search had dragged on for days or even weeks? What if it actually messed with the client's testimony or the lawyer's ability to do their job? Where's the line between a little inconvenience and a serious constitutional problem?
Yeah, tons to think about. Knowing these distinctions is really crucial for lawyers. It's all about balancing individual rights with the government's power, especially in those high-stakes legal situations.
It's what makes law so fascinating, always pushing boundaries and prompting us to consider different perspectives.
Well, there you have it, another deep dive in the books. Hope you all found this breakdown of Kahn v. Gabbard helpful.
And until next time, keep those legal minds sharp. Keep asking questions, keep analyzing, and keep learning.